well. Amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. What a blessing it's already been just being in the Lord's house this evening. If you have your Bibles, if you look with me to the book of James in chapter 1. James in chapter 1. On Sunday nights for several weeks now, we've been studying on stress, something that affects every human being. And the first thing you have to understand about stress is where it comes from. We study the root of stress, and we spent several messages studying what the Bible has to say and what the Bible reveals to us concerning that. And we know that the root is the sin nature of man. And it came upon man when Adam first sinned. And so we've had that inside of us. The root of stress is within us. And how we deal with the life, how we deal with circumstances and situations will affect that stress inside of us. And the stress is not a contagious, it's not a germ, it's not a virus. It is something that is a part of the sin nature of humanity. And Satan loves to use it against us. And if you study throughout the scriptures, the word stress is not in the Bible, but the word distress is. And the word distress means a state of extreme stress. And when you're not handling it the right way, it turns into distress. And it affects every part of our human body. It affects the nervous system. That's why most of your doctors will tell you, well, it's stress-related. Whatever's wrong with you, it's stress-related. And they just say that, but it's somewhat, they're right. It is. It affects the entire human body because it's from within. It's from within. And so then after we studied what the Bible established about stress, the roots of stress, we started looking at some of the examples of those in distress and how they were able to find help in distress. And last week we looked at the psalmist in chapter 73 of the book of Psalms. And you can tell that it was stressed out. And he said he didn't get the help until he went to the sanctuary of God. And in that, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. And what a blessing it is. It is when we have God to turn to as we're dealing with stress, certain situations and circumstances of life. Tonight, we're looking here at the example of the Apostle James. What the Bible has us to learn from what James is writing in James chapter 1. And so if you'll go ahead and stand with me, we're going to be reading James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. James 1, he says this, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but is withered the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, we already thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity to be in this place. Thank you for what we've already been blessed by. But now, God, as we have looked into this passage of Scripture, we need to have it, the understanding of it. And I pray, God, tonight that you would bless the preaching and the teaching of thy word so that each one here would be able to hear exactly what they need to hear to receive the help that they might need. Bless in the preaching of thy word again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. In the book of John, in chapter 16, verse 33, it says this. Jesus says, "In me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." In the world, as long as we're living in the world, as this human flesh and dealing with humanity and dealing with all the results of the human nature in the world, the flesh, and the old devil himself, in the world there's going to be tribulations. As we look here to the help that James gives us and the example of James and learning some things on how to deal with this stress, what is our attitude or even our mindset while facing God-designed stress? That's what we're going to be looking at tonight, is God-designed stress. Now, can I tell you, if you are dealing with the results of your sin, this message is not dealing with that tonight. Sometimes we bring stress upon ourselves because of our own sinful nature, and we yield to the sinful nature, and we have to deal with the consequences of the sin. Right. And dealing with the consequences of our sin will bring on a stress level that outside of confessing and forsaking and turning to God, you're not going to get any kind of relief. Right. It will destroy you. That is just the consequences that come along with willfully sinning. Okay, so that's another message. We've dealt on that a little bit as we looked at the sin nature and studying that. But tonight, James is talking to, again, those that have been scattered abroad, somewhat like Peter was this morning in giving us an example of Jesus Christ. And he told them that it was very vitally important to their peace and their strength and to follow the example of Christ, which is very true today, and that could be applied to this message as well. But James here is speaking to the very same ones that believed in Jesus Christ and have been scattered, and now God wants to work through them to be able to get the gospel out into all the world. And they're going to be facing a lot of stressful situations and a lot of things, the persecutions in this life. And so James is actually addressing those. And the mindset that he presents to them is, count it all joy. And I wonder, in our lives today and what we're dealing with, what is our attitude or mindset while facing things that we have no control over? God designed. Now again, if it's you're dealing with something that you just the consequences of your sin, that's not what we're talking about. What God, things that we have no control over. That which we do not have any control over, God controls. But what's our attitude concerning those God-designed stress? Now, some, whenever you have to face something that you have no control over, they fall apart. And they say, "I can't take it." Well, you can take it. I can't handle it. If it's God designed, then you can handle it. And it's the devil trying to tell you that you can't. Amen. That's just reality. He's going to use that which God has allowed for something good at some point or other throughout the remainder of your life or somebody else's life, and he's going to try to defeat you by saying that, God has put more on me than I'm able to bear. Can I tell you that God is predictable? I love that. Once you understand God and you understand how God works, you can predict certain things. When you see things happening in your life and you see things going on, you can know that God's in control. And when God's in control, you can predict what God is doing. Because he has given us illustrations throughout the scriptures of how he works. And God is the same today as he was yesterday and will be forevermore. He never changes. And so once we understand the Bible, once we understand God and how he works, you can actually predict what God is doing. God is very predictable. Because he does the same. He doesn't change. That's something that all of us ought to work on. I think it's very important that we become predictable in what we do. When people know us, they know that, no, he won't do that or she won't do that. If that happens, this is what they're going to do. If that happens, this is what they're going to do. Why? Because they're just responding scripturally to whatever it is that you're faced with. Predictable. God is very predictable. But some will respond by saying, I can't take it more than I can handle. That's not God. God didn't put those words in your brain for you to speak them with your mouth. And can I tell you, before you ever speak, what you speak comes from what you're thinking, what's on your brain. And Satan would love to suggest to you certain things that will cause you to say things that you shouldn't say. Some might even say, why me? Why now? Why this? We ought to be saying, why not me? What makes me better than somebody else? Why should somebody else have to go through something and I should never have to go through that? When it's not, if it's not based upon your own sin and your own personal actions, it's based on what God is doing. Listen to me. Why not you? And why not me? Listen to me. That's not predicting what God is doing. God does not do things for us to question why and why now and why this. Some now go to the far extreme on the other side. And they say, good, bring it on. And they want to volunteer to be martyrs. Listen to me. I do not want to volunteer to be a martyr. I'm not going to do whatever it takes so that I can have people look bad at me and want to kill me. I'm not going to do that. Not unless it's doing something that God would have me to do and standing upon my faith and the principles of the Word of God. But just to go out of my way to become a martyr and say, here I am, come and get me. That is not the will of God either. That's somebody that's totally messed up in their mind and their thinking to volunteer to be a martyr. What is our mindset? Hopefully it would be something like, if this is your will, I'm willing. And I will count it all joy. If this is what you have for me, I know who you are. I know what you've done for me. I'm willing. Not my will, something that Jesus said on the cross. Not my will, but thy will be done. Yeah. So, count it all joy. How did he present this to the believers that were going to be facing some pretty horrendous things that might have had, some of them might have had these same responses? First of all, he says, James, a servant of God. Can I tell you, the first thing we need to have is the mindset of a servant. The key to our attitudes and our mindset is not that we are slaves. But rather one who is committed to pleasing his master as a servant of God. Ephesians in chapter 6, look back there with me. He wanted them to know that, listen to me, I'm just a servant of the Lord. And what you're going through, you're servants of God. God has a purpose for you here in this life. God is working through you. You serve the Lord Almighty. God has a purpose and a plan. Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 5. As Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and he tells them some things concerning their lifestyle, and he says, servants. And he's talking about those in our workplaces and how we ought to obey our master. But the idea here is the very same principle here. As a Christian in society, you ought to be a good employee to your employer. But you see them as a servant to your employer. And the very same way, we're here and we are servants of the Lord. And so, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Not my will, but your will. How many go into your place of work if you're not the boss and you have an employer over you, and you go in and you say, this is what I want you to do for me today. And no, I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to do this. This is what I'm going to do, like it or not. Now you're going to get fired. That's not how we serve as employees to our employers. We have no business, if we are the servants of God, telling God what we will and will not endure. Amen. What you can and cannot do in my life. That's right. And stop a minute and just think about it. Because I guarantee you, Satan would love to get you to think that you can tell God what he's going to do for you. And you can tell God what you're not going to endure. And if that's you, then you're not going to have the help that God has available to you. Your mindset is not where it needs to be. Concerning those things that I have no control over, that God is in control of, I need to be a servant to my God. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. My single focus is to serve. I'm not calling the shot. I am here to serve. A singleness of heart. My heart's desire is to be the best employee that I can be. As you see yourself as a servant, that's what you ought to be doing. He says, not with eye service, as men pleasers. Well, I know what people want to hear, so that's what I'm going to say. That's not going to help you unless you mean what you're saying. But as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. I'm here to serve God. I don't know. I can tell you now that God wanted me to pastor this church for at least 31 years. Why? Because I've been pastor for 31 years. I can look back and I can know exactly what God's will is because I'm a servant to God. I have expectations of continuing to pastor until God tells me not to. Why? Because I'm his servant. I love the people of this church. I really do. But I'm not going to pastor according to what you want me to. Because I'm the servant of God. No matter what you do to me, and I tell people, I need everyone here to think, at least have me think that you love me, so it's a lot easier for me to serve you if I know that you love me and you're praying for me. Amen. If you don't love me and you're not praying for me, don't tell me. I don't need to know that. But you make my job a lot easier if I know that you're praying for me when I stand up here to preach and to teach the very words of God to you, that I am preaching and teaching a congregation that want to be fed, that want me to be their pastor, to want to hear me preach and hear me teach. Amen. Amen. But I'm a servant of God's. I don't know. I can't tell you how many more years I'll be pastoring. I don't know what my health is going to do. I can tell you what it's done. And I can tell you, after 31 years, I can't do what I used to do 31 years ago. Not physically, not mentally. I just don't have the capacity as I once did. Amen. So, I hate to, but don't expect me to remember everybody's names. I just never have been one to do that. It becomes almost a joke. I've had those getting ready to come up here to pray, and they've had signs telling me their name before I introduce them to help me, or have it written down on the podium or something. Even if it's my own son-in-laws, you know, and now my grandkids, I can tell you their name. I'm not going to forget, no. But it just sometimes my mind goes blank. And some of you have seen your moments, you know, and I can understand that. I can understand what you're going through better than I used to be able to. Amen. I can identify with you a little bit more. But I'm the servant of God. What are we going to have to face as a church? I can tell you what we faced in the past, and I can tell you what allowed us to make it through those things. Just depending on God. I'm a servant. Do you have a servant's mindset when it comes to facing things that you have no control over that God does? Count it all joy. You can do that when you have a servant's mindset. God is predictable when you understand that whatever God brings into my life, I know that there has to be purpose. Verse 3 and 4, go back there to James with me. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. That's trials, that's things that I have no control over. Knowing this, as a servant, you can know this about your master. You can know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, that is, spiritually mature and entire, to get to the place of wanting nothing, because God is supplying your need from within. So, God has a purpose. The purpose for whatever I face, no matter where it's coming, from home, from work, from society, whether it's financial, whether it's relationship, whether it's health related, is to help me grow. And when you're able to count it all joy, can I tell you, it'll grow your faith. Because you realize you're a servant and you're learning to trust and wait upon God. Wow. And you understand in time, it'll all make sense. Things that I have no control over that come into my life that I have to face, I might not see them and understand exactly why they had to happen, exactly what God is doing, but I can have this. I can know that God has a purpose, and in time, it will be revealed. I can go back in 31 years and tell you during several things that's happened in this church, I couldn't understand why God allowed it at that time. But now after 31 years, I can go back and I can tell you, yeah, this right here happened when that happened. That's what we needed. And this right here happened because of this happened and that. And God put it all together. I think of just looking over here at Buddy and what all going on there. I told him it wasn't God's will for him to leave the first time. But he believed it was God's will. And I'm to the place now, I understand exactly what God was doing. He brought him back a different man. Yeah. To fill a position that we didn't have need of until he was ready to fill that position. Hey. I can look back now, that's only been a couple of years, and I can say, now I know exactly why this happened, that happened, this went that way, and that went this way. It'll all be revealed in time. Even when you can't understand it now, don't lose faith. Realize you're just a servant. You're just a servant. The Bible says, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't faint. Don't give up. That's not God. That's the devil. God says, you're my servant. There's purpose. Don't faint. I'll reveal it when it's time. But use this time to grow. You can count it all joy if you're looking at yourself as being the servants of God. If you're looking at what God is doing, that you have no control, that there is a purpose in that. And in due season, we will reap if we faint not. And I'm not going to faint. I'm just going to let God work. And I'm going to concentrate on spiritual growth. Amen. Being more dependent upon God than ever before. Amen. That's good stuff. Amen. It's exactly what those scattered abroad needed. What we need tonight. Verse 5 through 8. What are we doing while we're waiting? Praying for wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, if you've not been coming out on Sunday morning Sunday school, listen to me, you're not receiving the wisdom that you could receive in this Sunday school series on understanding the wisdom of God and how to apply it to your lives in so many different areas. But the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom when you're going through these times, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. If you're a servant of God, you know that you've already surrendered to God's will for your life, then you're asking for wisdom based upon your belief in who God is. You're asking for wisdom to just know how you are to be thinking as you're going through this. You're asking for wisdom to know how you are to be responding. Not why, not thinking there's more than I can handle, but understanding that there's a purpose, and God, now give me the wisdom that I can make the right decisions in the middle of this trial, in the midst of this infirmity, whatever it might be. And he says, if you lack it, just have to ask, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. If you believe one day and you don't believe the next day, you're just going to be tossed back and forth. And it's the devil trying to throw you back and forth and disrupt your Christian life. Know what you know and just have faith in God and just count it all joy and say, God, give me wisdom every day. Give me wisdom every step of the way. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't waver. Amen. Know what you believe and hold to it. Reject doubt. Always ask in faith. Believing God can and will, or don't even ask. If you don't believe God can or will, then don't even ask. If you know who God is, you know there's purpose in what's going on, you know that God has something going on here for you, then you just pray in faith and know that God can and God will, and you ask. Verses 9 through 11. Adversity comes to the rich and the poor. Adversity comes to everyone. Money is not going to solve your problems. Amen. Worldly gain is not going to solve your problems. So he says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. God's working in your life, and you just got blessings ahead for you. When you know that God is working, God has a purpose and a plan. But the rich, let him rejoice, the Bible says, in that he is made low, because as a flower of the grass he shall pass away. Because you're more apt to turn away from God than the poor, because you're going to think that you have no need of God. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it. We have and we are what we are by the grace of God. Yeah. The grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. The poor rejoice, for God loves you and you have worth, for God is working in your life. For the rich rejoice, God will work to keep you looking to Him. Don't look to your own ways. That's what he's saying right there. No matter who you are, no matter if you're rich or you're poor, or no matter where you come from, what's your background, you're the servant of God. Rejoice. Count it all joy. Understanding God's doing a work. Yeah. Whew. The promise. The promise is found in verse 12 as we conclude. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. That's trials. That's temptation that Satan wants you to use in the midst of trials to turn away from God, to blame God, to turn to other things that are just going to complicate things that much worse. And you're going to find yourself in a place of distress. But the wise individual, the true servant of God, will continue to count it all joy, knowing, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You're not quitting. You're not fainting. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The crowns of the Bible, we don't have time to go into all of it, but one of them is a crown of life. That's going to be given to us when we meet Jesus face to face. If you have been faithful to the end and you've accomplished what God had you on this planet to accomplish, there is a crown awaiting everyone that accomplishes God's will for their life. If you leave this world prematurely because you have turned away from God and God's taken you home, that crown is not available to you. If you've given up on your faith, God's never given up on you. But if you give up on your faith and you don't accomplish what God has for you to do, that crown is not available to you. I don't know exactly what these crowns are going to represent and want to be. I just know, according to what God says about them, it's something that you don't want to miss out on. It's something that is available to us, and it's something that's going to make a difference in eternity to come. And to know that will keep you on track no matter what you have to face. Because I'm a servant of God's. And I'm going to stay faithful no matter what I have to endure, no matter what I'm going to have to deal with, because I'm going to count on God to strengthen me every step of the way and be glorified in how I respond to it. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that crown. But note also the blessings after he had been tried now. James chapter 5 and verse 11, we're going to close with this right here. James chapter 5 and verse 11. Because not only will you be blessed in heaven, but I believe we'll find some blessings here as we have this kind of mentality, this mindset. Because this mindset will strengthen you and help you. James, as he closes out, he says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of a tender mercy. See, Job, we have his example, and as we look back and we study the life of Job, and he went through everything, but not at any time did he turn away from God or have an ill feelings toward God or ask why him and not somebody else, but he just stayed faithful even when it didn't make sense until after God revealed it to him. And not only after God revealed it to him, but God blessed him with more after than he ever had before. And I believe that's the case for some here in this life. that happiness will come if you endure the testings and you endure the trials. And in the midst of whatever's taking place, you count it all joy. After the fact, you're going to find yourself happy with more to rejoice over than what you did before. Yeah. And looking for the crown when this life is over. What's your mindset? I'm not denying that we're all facing stressful times. Some more than others. But what's your mindset? Let's learn from James. Let's learn to count it all joy. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. God is predictable. We know how He works. Knowing that, count it all joy. You know, you might need to come and pray and ask for wisdom. Ask for what you need to do in the middle of the trial and what you need to do in the middle of the stressful situation and how to have the right answers to the questions that are being asked and how to have the right direction when it's time for you to make some decisions. You need to ask for wisdom. But God is there to give you that if you ask in faith. It's available. It's available. Maybe you need to just ask. What's our mindset? Father, we bow before You now. We thank You for the example that You've given to us from James. What a help it is as we read and understand this passage of Scripture. And I pray, God, that there would not be one born-again believer walk out of this auditorium here tonight without seeing themselves as a servant with a mindset of count it all joy. There might be somebody here tonight that cannot do that because they don't know for sure that they're saved. God, I pray that if there's anyone here that does not know 100% sure of their salvation, that they would come tonight. Let somebody take a Bible and show them how they can leave here with this knowledge of a know-so salvation. There might be some here tonight that are dealing with stress brought on by their lifestyle, sins, rebellion. God, I pray that person would come and confess and forsake and get that behind them, that they might have the help that You have for them. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, I pray right now for this invitation that You would work and people would look to You. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.